Central Valley. It's time for the 940 ESPN Rise Show. The 940 ESPN Rise Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. Got extra phone cards just hanging around. Scared Matt right there. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J here at Fashion Furniture Studios. It's going to be a great day here at the Rise Show. Matty, how are you?
Oh, I'm feeling invigorated. Back to the cozy massage therapy chair here at Fashion Furniture. Did me right. It was like sitting in a space age lunar module technology going on my way to the moon.
Apollo 13?
Apollo, you know, probably by this point, probably like Apollo 36. I felt good.
I was confused, Apollo 30. I didn't see Apollo 1 or 2, so I you got to see the first, you know, 12 of them, right?
Well, Apollo 13, you know, all heck starts to break loose. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Apollo 1 was kind of the setup to that. Apollo 2 was just kind of...
crashed in Mars.
Well, told the backstory of all the astronauts going to training, and then by Apollo 13, they had their stuff together, except they had a little problem up there. Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, they had a big problem, huh? It was kind of a little nippy up there. That's all I saw.
Well, when you run out of cabin pressure and oxygen, things start to get a little dicey when you're, you know, 100 million miles away from Earth.
We got a lot to talk about today.
We have Ron Scott.
Ron Scott's going to join us later. Nick Anderson in the house. We're going to talk
Anderson,
to Nick.
Nick Anderson, Helena. Thank you so much.
Overall, Nick might be more hated than the Pag Meter, and we're going to talk to Nick about that today.
No, so Nick, we love Nick, that. Nick, no, Nick is not. It's focused on just one little party of a few people. Yours is brought out throughout the entire valley. I mean, you could go into Bakersfield, and everyone loves the Pag Meter, but you'll have some people in Bakersfield that are wondering, well, this guy's an idiot. Why does he never talk about me? But Nick just had one incident. You've had several.
Yeah, I did mess up on Marimonte. I'm completely my fault. Yeah. I had them as the Titans, and they're the Lions. Yeah. So the coach called and goes, hey, Pag Meter, we're the Lions. I messed up. You know, with so many mascots going on, it's not easy. But Marimonte, 15-2 off to a great start.
Indeed,
so we're going to talk basketball. Ron Scott, the legendary.
How about our little
coach.
Holiday television experience?
We're going to talk.
YouTube TV. That one probably got a few people upset, but there were a lot of people that are happy about
it. I had more responses, about 80%, I'd say 95% really, really good that you and I did TV last week. And there was a few because we hacked the names. And we didn't have the right great rosters. And then I had one guy on there complaining about J.D. Douglas. You kept calling him J.D. Douglas the whole time. The junior from Memorial who's very, very good.
Very good.
And you asked, is he related to Damian Douglas? Well, apparently he's not. I got backlash. Then I looked on Max Prep. It said J.D. Douglas.
Yeah.
I put it on there, and I heard no responses after
that. That's
the
whole thing. When we do these games, people have to realize we can only draw if we don't get the actual up-to-date roster in hand before these games, before this football, basketball, whatever it might be. We've got to go with what we see on Max Preps. And Max Preps clearly had his name down, and it missed a few other things. And I just go off of what I pull off the Internet. So keep your Internet up to date, folks. Not talking about that game in general, but I do visit the Internet a lot. It's amazing to me, Nick, when you and I are doing our exploration of players and talent, and especially for you, the Pag Meter, you go on, and some schools like to keep stats on players. Some schools just don't turn anything in. And they wonder how you, as the Pag Meter, can't continue to uplift the great male and female athletes in our valley. But there's a lot of information that, for whatever reason, coaches and administration don't want to keep up with their talented athletes.
And I would say the majority of the teams do a great job. I want to give a little love out to Preston Kilbert. Kilbert, and I kept saying Gilbert, I apologize.
That's with a K.
To the parents, great people. We text, and I apologize. I try to tell them. I'm Italian, and we can't spell or read. I'm not Paul Leffler. Sorry.
And then
Paul Leffler's a legend.
Well, then Bullard had a talented athlete, and so did San Joaquin Memorial. But the Bullard was mistaken for the kid at Memorial, so you kept calling the kid at Memorial the guy who plays from the Bullard name.
But, you know, overall, Marshall. They loved the entertainment. They said we brought fire to the broadcast, so we're back.
Next time, if we're ever afforded the opportunity to do it, I'll be sure that we make sure that we are more prepared to have everything in hand instead of the usual show up and start scrambling of how we're going to get rosters and all that stuff.
And, of course, you looked good. You had your blazer on. You were ready for TV.
Well, it was television. I didn't, you know, want to wear it. You know, you wore the sweatsuit. I was, you know, that's why you'll never be in TV again. I actually put the blazer on.
So let's talk, before we talk basketball, before we talk Ron Scott and Nick Anderson and all the basketball, let's talk about, we had a little national championship game on Monday night.
Yes,
Clemson took care of business. What are your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is, hallelujah, go Clemson Tigers. I am so tired of Nick Saban. I am sorry to tell you that, but I've got a little bit, I've worn thin. Certainly, as all people would say, and this is not trying to be politically correct, you must respect the man and what he's accomplished. But I was always a little suspect that there's something about him that needs to be exposed. And Clemson exposed him. And I think the week before that, Oklahoma, you saw the chinks in the armor of the Saban machine. And here's the thing. When you have that much instability, and it's not Coach Saban's fault that he continues to bring in new innovative coaches to help, because clearly I don't think he can coach the X's and O's. I think he's really the figurehead overseeing a great, great program. And he's kind of given up on the idea of play calling and all that. And he turns it over to these great new minds. And when these young minds leave to go take the job at Tennessee or Georgia or whatever, he's got to go find a new Steve Sarkisian or a new Lane Kiffin or a new Coach Pruitt. Whatever it might be, I think that we've seen that it comes down to one thing. And you said it perfectly last night. The true test of true coaching ability, just talking just wins and losses, can they win at the highest level? When everyone pretty much, the parity in the NFL is pretty much there. You're allowed to have stellar five-star type athletes at every position. And Nick Saban had his shot in the NFL, and you saw how that went. It wasn't very good. And he's had his opportunity to beat over people in college at LSU and, of course, now at Alabama. And he's done it on the backside of extremely talented athletes, better than anyone else. I must say, on paper, Clemson is getting close, but Clemson didn't have all of the five-star talent that Alabama possessed. But Dabo Sweeney ran circles around Coach Saban in that game, and Dabo Sweeney is the new, I believe, dynastic, whatever you want to call, he's the new coach that should certainly overtake Nick Saban. Nick Saban is too volatile. I don't understand how he bullies players. He is old-fashioned in that regard, and I do respect what he's done on the field as far as his team. But that attitude, I guarantee there's a lot of recruits watching how the Dabo Sweeney action worked and how the Alabama action worked. And if I'm a big five-star recruit, I think I'm taking a school like Clemson to work with that staff as opposed to his staff.
And I think not only does he bully players, I think he bullies coaches behind the scenes. We don't know about, but he could be close to a nervous breakdown. We said it before, the old nervous breakdown. When he slammed down the earphones 2 weeks ago, I think you're right. Clemson is the new cup of tea.
And I'm so happy, to shut up Paul Feinbaum, the SEC Country Network, and all that crap about that. I know that South Carolina and Clemson's in that southeast area, but it was so refreshing to see. And now I'm waiting for the West Coast to arrive. I'm waiting for the people in the West, in the Pac-12, and other schools out here in the West to realize that you've got to up your game, because this is getting to be pathetic that we can't, in basketball and football, put forth an effort to go get national championship games.
Games or teams?
Just get in those kind of settings.
Oh.
I mean, the Huskies got in there, right, a few years ago, and they got demolished. We need to find out what's the weakness, whether it's the war daddies in the trenches that we need to find a way to go get, whatever it is. But football, basketball on the West Coast is dying, and we need to get back relevant again.
I was listening to Tony D yesterday, the one and only, the legendary Tony D, and he was talking to him. He had an email saying, will Fresno State ever get in the Pac-12? And how many times have you and I said they have to? To get the crowd. It's all about the crowds.
Yeah, yeah. We started that campaign a few months to a year ago, where we've got tired of trying to come up with creative ways to get more butts in the seats. You know, why aren't the basketball games filled? Why isn't the football stadium capacity beyond capacity? And we tried everything. And we've got one solution I already know that's going to work, and I know that the school's got to be thinking about it, and that's a marketing mass billboard campaign. Paying tribute to all these great student-athletes who've come through the university, Fresno State. Top of the food chain athletes all around the world have come out of Fresno State. Number one, they need to promote that more. But number two, here it is. saddle up everything, mortgage the entire university, pay whatever fees you have to pay, get out with Larry Scott at the Pac-12 conference. If you can't get in a Pac-12 conference or a Big 12 conference, zero chance of the growth that we need in this valley to get people going to the games and spending money. If UCLA basketball team has come to Save Mart Center, or if the USC football team is now going to go on the road to play Fresno State football in our place, in our home, you best believe people start showing up. This whole cycle will reverse itself. We need to get aligned with a conference that has talent.
I think you're right, because what's going to happen in my mind, once that Las Vegas Bowl, that stadium the Raiders play in, that $80 trillion stadium, you don't think the Pac-12 is going to want a piece of that? Along with either San Diego State or Boise State, one of those two are going to want to get in the Pac-12. And if we're left out, we might as well just join forces with the Big West.
Well, what's sad, too, is that we have the influence. I think our valley, if you probably did the numbers, we probably have the best alumni base of Pac-12 conference-affiliated schools in this valley. I know that there's lots of Cal alumni, Stanford alumni all over the place. There's USC Trojan alumni here. UCLA is all over the place. There's Oregon Ducks all over this place. We have to pull all of us together and use as much influence as we can, because if Pullman, Washington, and Corvallis, Oregon, that's Oregon State and Washington State, can survive and exist in the Pac-12.
Along with Arizona.
Along with Salt Lake City, yeah. Utah. Don't tell me that our market here in the Central Valley does not warrant that type of a conference. I just think that's the only answer for any of those out there in whatever field of work you're in, and you're saying, oh, it'll never happen. Never happen. It'll never, nope, can't see it happening. They can go ahead and stick pie all over their face. There is an opportunity that this could work.
Great example will be Saturday night. Nevada comes in. They're ranked one of the best in the country. If that place doesn't have 15,000, then it never will have 15,000. Because this is the big game,
and we just came.
Even though I want you at the Fresno City baseball dinner on Saturday night, where I'm emceeing Ron Scott, there's plenty of they're already sold out, but sell out.
If we can't, if we can't support the greatest party of the year, and that's the Fresno City.
Oh, it's already sold out.
Yeah, if you can't support that, then also support Bulldogs. And something's wrong. We might as well forget it. We can't support Division I athletics. But we can. And Fresno State, by the way, coming off that great win over Utah State on the road, last-second shot, winning, coming in to set up the stage for the Saturday game. I think it's a 5 p.m. tip-off here at Save Mart Center against arguably one of the great teams the Mountain West Conference has ever put
together.
And
they're beatable.
They're beatable,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, they are. So this is what we're talking about. There wouldn't be – I don't think you have to pull all the strings out to get marketing – if we're in a better conference. I just don't think people give a hoot about the Mountain West. And it's a pretty good example when you see who we playing, because I think Pat Hill and Jerry Tarkanian spoiled us for some of those big-name opponents we've had.
Well, the progression was there from PCAA to basically before that even playing junior college-type football and sports, and then the PCAA to the Big West to the Mountain West Conference. I can see in short order that the Mountain West Conference, they'll be exploring already, they already are, opportunities with schools, UC Davis and the like, and we're going to get lumped in with that group. It's time for us to start thinking forward and moving out of this conference and moving into the big show.
We're going to talk about it every week till it happens. This is how we roll, you and I roll. We're going to take a break, come back and talk. We went to a game last night, Clovis North versus Clovis East in boys basketball, and it was something. We're going to talk about it. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rise Show live right here at Fashion Furniture.
We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. This is the Rise Show for your Thursday. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for our tremendous sponsor, Nick Anderson in the house today, along Ron Scott. We're going to join a little later. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J. But Matt, here at Fashion Furniture, they got your favorite recliners back.
They are. The Cozias are back. They, by popular demand, they are moving and shaking and preparing for sales on those items. I can only describe that whatever your taste, whatever your level of where you want to go with this thing. Do you want to get, like I said, lunar technology, or do you want to stay basic? You can get that. The chair that I pick out will massage from the bottom of your toes all the way to the tip of your neck. Unbelievable. And it's heating, movement, zero gravity will reverse you upside down. Unbelievable chair.
It makes it whatever you want, soft or as hard as you want.
Oh, yeah,
you're an NFL athlete.
It's a sports massage.
Yeah.
You want, you know, the Taipei, Chinese, whatever style you want.
Oh,
and then you can dial up speed, intensity. That's the button I like to hit and manipulate to where it's just at the ultimate strength and tenacity. And it actually feels like, you know, Olympic power lifter is working over those parts of your back. It's
going to save you money in the long run. You'll never have to have a massage again.
Let me just truly, I know we do this show, and we've always done it here at Fashion Furniture, and we're taken care of very nicely here by this beautiful, beautiful showroom here at Fashion Furniture. But these are unsolicited. These things really happen. I don't want to make it sound like I'm this guy that's over-promoting. I've literally come in here after a hard day of football practice and working the kids out, and on a Thursday show, get here just before the show starts, get in there for 15 minutes, and I come out of that chair, and I feel like I can go slam dunk, reverse dunk, one, you know, tomahawk 360.
I'll never forget, and you came in here, you were walking like a crawdad. Your hips were 2 feet to the left, and what's wrong? Oh, I hurt my back.
Well, crawdads actually walk parallel. They go straight ahead. You're a crab.
Okay, let's throw a crab.
A crab will laterally walk.
But once you left that recliner, you really were. You cartwheeled right back to the studio.
No, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, I do. Our thoughts and prayers do go out for a member of the Fashion Furniture family, Ted Cook.
Yes.
Longtime employee here with Rod. He passed away on Monday. Family, we're thinking of you guys. What a great guy Ted was.
Well, Ted embodies the spirit of what this place, Fashion Furniture, is all about. Friendly, always had a smile, engaging, would sit and talk to us before the show and talk about other things outside of the furniture business. Ted was a true leader that I looked up to. He would take time to talk to me about life and how's the football team, how's Madera South. Ted Cook will always be remembered, and my thoughts and prayers go out to the family.
Well said. Well, we got to watch a little basketball last night. It's league time. The road to Selden Arena is February 22nd, 23rd. We watched Clovis North, Clovis East last night. And before it even started, let me tell you about the national anthem. Tess Montpierre, okay, her dad, the family has Patrick James, and that's the best national anthem. Tess and the family, if you're listening, first class.
My actual notes from the game. I'm so glad you brought that up, Nick, and that's what you do. And we go beyond just what goes during the whistle on the court, but all the atmosphere that leads into a game like that. And as you said, notes. National anthem. Clovis North versus Clovis East game. Wow. Spectacular.
Yeah.
That was as good of a opening national anthem. And I'm talking all levels of sport, from Super Bowls to NBA All-Star games to high school athletics. Great job. Say your name once again, please.
Tess Montpierre.
Unbelievable.
Montpierre.
Tess, you have a definite future in the world of entertainment and the arts.
Yeah, Lori used to teach her dancing, shocker, and great family. She said, oh, my God. She saw it was on Facebook, so they sent me a copy. Just outstanding. First of all, let's talk about the Clovis North gym.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the Clovis North gym for a minute? Well, how good, how nice that is?
Well, the first thing you recognize as you go into that gym is that it's large enough to house what you've been advocating for forever.
Forever.
The Fresno State women's basketball team, or those type of games where you could pack the place. It probably holds 4,000 and change, I would imagine. That's by my count of just looking at the rows. So it's a massive theater, if you will. And then, of course, there's the scoreboard. And Clovis West has one, and Clovis North has one, and I haven't been to Buchanan during a basketball game in a while, but they have one. It rivals what you see at the Boston Garden. If your basketball program has a four-sided cube reminiscent of Madison Square Garden or you know, the Staples Center, I think your program's arrived.
That's a nice scoreboard.
That is a very nice scoreboard.
There's nothing like it. That stadium, I mean, that arena, it's got to be the best in California. I can't imagine another gymnasium.
It definitely creates the opportunity, and I don't know why, you're right, I don't know why we haven't ever discovered this. Now, granted, playing inside the Save Mart Center for a basketball game, a girls' or boys' basketball game, it's got to be thrilling. But would you rather do that, or would you rather walk into the Nest and have 4,000 people where it feels like it's 12,000 to 20,000.
Home court advantage.
That would be a true great scenario to at least experiment with on one particular good conference game, to have Fresno State take their program into a gym like that and pack it.
Well, San Jose State took on Fresno State last week in women's basketball.
Yeah.
And, of course, Megan Anderson and Danae Marquez was there from Clovis West, and they brought the house of the Clovis West fans. There's probably more Clovis West fans than were at Fresno State. That's what happens when you recruit locally, but they want to come and see the local girls.
Yeah.
If that was at Clovis North, you're right. There'd be 3,000 more people, I think, might show up. But that's just this is what we do. We throw ideas out there. It'll never happen.
I think is something we can say could possibly never happen.
Yeah.
But it would be nice as a marketing ploy to try to strategically do that and get all of the local Clovis Unified people together on it. Hey, you never know. We might be onto something. However, as you segue into the game, which we're going to talk about, but the last thing we want to talk about, last night's game, and we would be absolutely doing damage to our credibility if we didn't point out the halftime show, and if we did not point out the work of this, what do you call them, this dance group or whatever that comes out from Clovis North at halftime.
I guess the dance team.
You call
Lori
them song,
said the dance
song
team.
Girls, the,
well,
the dance team. Let me just fill you in on this little secret, if any of you have not seen this. They're better than they're. It's like watching ESPN National Championship.
Talk about the Clovis
spirit, spirit and dance.
Yeah.
The precision, their steps. It's like they I was transformed into America's Got Talent, and I'm Simon Cowell on the judges panel watching a group that might go all the way to the finals. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable work that those young ladies put forth in that halftime dance show.
And then, of course, on the end, you go to the Lakers play at the Staples Center. That was the Staples Center.
The Staples Center.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Yeah.
Very
so Clovis cool. East got the win.
Yep.
Clovis North had a shot at the end of the game, but Coach Wiggins can coach, and so is Tony Amundson. Those are two of the – maybe the top two coaches we have. I mean, we have great coaches here.
We do.
But
up to the billing, we've talked about Coach Adrian Wiggins clearly shows, although number 23 for Clovis East.
Sean O'Roberts?
Sean O'Roberts is clearly, he's an all-pag meter. He's an all-valley type player. He can get it done. But player for player, looking at the bench, looking at the height advantages and all that, I still hold true to Adrian Wiggins is clearly one of the class coaches in our valley. That goes for college, pro, down to high school. He really gets a lot out of what the talent he has on that bench. Having said that, Coach Amundson from Clovis North is very similar. He has a game plan that works for his team. He's a great coach. In the history of doing sports with you, sometimes you have to say things that are not popular. And as a high school coach, I don't have any pride or any joy in mentioning things such as officiating. But I will tell you this. Normally, it's always been my set pat answer to when there's things that go against you in the world of officiating that, look, it is part of the game. We have to look past that. We got to teach our young men or young ladies to battle through that adversity and come out the other end. But for the first time in a long, long time that I can remember, officiating actually caused to me, and for my opinion, it caused Clovis North to lose that basketball game.
Interesting.
That's how severe I thought some of the untimely calls that weren't being called both ways. It's like, in one respect, Nick, let them play. If you're going to play physical, and you're going to let them be physical, let them play, but then don't pick and choose your moments to call, that was a foul. But that was less physical than the thing that wasn't called. That's where you get into the problem. And every official that knows you, me, and we've associated with, and there's so many great ones. I love what they do. It's so hard to do that. I've done it before. It's not easy. But they all want to be a part of the end of the game thinking, God, I don't remember. Was the game officiated? They want to be silent. They don't want to be a part of the thing. They just want to go away and know that that's when they know they did a good job, that they were not part. This was absolutely time after time. Whoa, what was that? What call was it? What are they? Oh my goodness. I felt so sorry for Coach of Clovis North, Coach Amundson, because you could see, there's a point to where you know you're still a high school coach. You have to kind of keep your composure because that's what we want to teach these young student athletes. But there are some points where you're just, your competitive fire is so great that you have to just act out. And he had a couple moments where he really, truly, like I said, if he was the NBA, he would have gone to the next step. He would have been ejected. But he held his composure to the best of his ability.
I don't know how he did it.
But there were some calls that I don't know how you couldn't just – I'd run on the middle court like, stop, stop, action, stop.
Help, no, ask for help.
Help, no, I want to get the rule book out. Oh, my gosh, what are you doing? Especially at the end of the game where Clovis North had the last possession.
0.6 seconds left.
No, 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 no. That oh, before that, oh, before where that. They had a chance to dribble, drive, get up, and get a shot off.
They were toward, down by three.
Yeah, well, they didn't have to worry about it. They had the chance to hit the last shot, and there was time to dribble and get the ball up from the back court. And immediately the ball came inbounds to Stephen Perry, and Perry goes left to the basically the bench of Clovis East, and he just got mauled. They attempted to double team, and he got through the double team, but he got just mauled, and it would have sent him to the line to shoot free throws to tie the game up. And they didn't call that. That's where I was, whoa. That I was wondering, sometimes you
well,
have.
Well, he wouldn't have tied the game. They were down by three, so he would probably have shot two or one and one, however it was. Wasn't it 77-74 at that time?
I thought it was 2 points. It could have been.
It was three.
I thought it was a two-point game at that point. Either way, not important. The call wasn't made.
Yeah.
And that told me, in my mind, and most likely I'm way off base on this, but my perception was, because of all the flack that Coach from Clovis North had been giving the calls, the questionable calls, I think at that point the game was set that we're not going to honor anything towards Clovis North in their favor. It just felt that way to me that they got harassed so severely during the game from that side at Clovis North that they probably felt like, let's just get out of here and I'm not going to call anything and call this a night.
Yeah, but it was a good game, and I think all the track, especially with Clovis West, they knocked off Central last night. Buchanan beat Clovis, but those teams on the track, with Clovis West, Clovis North, Clovis East, Central on the edge, but they're still young and they'll get better by the end of the year. Those three teams are going to beat each other up. Next Wednesday, Clovis West takes on Clovis East.
Yeah.
What first real showdown.
Yeah. What that game last night showed for the talented athletes that were in the game playing their hearts out, is that was a game of about, you say, you know, that was a tale of two halves. That was a tale of like every 6 or 7 minutes. Game starts out, and I'm already thinking, oh, man, Clovis North is way too much for Clovis East. And then Clovis East had to come back from a big deficit and battle back into the game, showing their determination and grit and their great coaching from Coach Wiggins. And then all of a sudden, Clovis North exerted their talent again with the big fella down low getting layup after layup. And then Clovis East had to come battling back.
But you said twice, oh, this game's over. Clovis East is going to roll them. And all of a sudden, North is winning.
Well, no, it started Clovis North is going to roll them.
Yeah.
And then it went to Clovis East. Says, oh, this is obvious that they've got a game plan that's better than – and then North will come back. Great game.
Yeah. We're going to talk with
that's the best to this point high school basketball game I've seen.
And take your phone calls, 844-940 ESPN, the Road to Selden Arena, February 22nd and 23rd. My question, too, in baseball. Baseball and softball has started.
Yes.
It's starting early. Coaches aren't happy because it's ugly weather. It's everything. We're starting early, but I don't know why we're starting early, Matt. There's no state playoffs. So why are we starting early? This is what I don't get. The only sports left we don't have a state playoff is baseball and softball.
Yeah. I have no idea, really, I don't know.
Yeah.
Other than you know, being the comical guy that I am, my thought is, well, maybe they just want to, exert a little bit more, work out of their coaches that they've got on contract. So let's get them working extra.
Well, they still practice early.
But that's what I'm saying, but they still do all that. But I don't know the early start. I couldn't tell you, but I know there has to be a reason for it. Your job is to go find that reason, yeah. Pag Meter, before you start asking me questions.
Well, I sat with James Patrick the other night, the legendary coach at Clovis. He was like, I don't know. I don't know why we're starting early. There's no state playoffs. Someday there will be. It'd be great. But right now, the southern and the northern section are starting at their normal times. Well, let's take a break, Matt. We're going to come back and talk with another legendary coach, Ron Scott. The big dinner is on Saturday night at Fresno City. This is always the start of baseball season. It's at the Exhibit Hall. Ron will tell you how to get tickets if there's any left because it's always the best part of the year. So don't go anywhere. Ron Scott coming up next on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture Studios. This is your Rise Show. It's the Pag Meter. It's Maddie J. You can follow the Pag Meter on Twitter, at Pag Meter, if you want the updated scores. I've also got the rankings up, the hot rankings, Matt, for basketball, boys and girls going on right now. Clovis West, number one on both sports.
Yeah, yeah. I've done my own research, and I think that in the big picture, Clovis West is clearly the cream of the crop in the valley. I mean, anything's possible, but it's amazing how these things play out, and there's still a lot of season left. But skill and talent and coaching doesn't, you know, lie. I mean, they're loaded. Clovis West looks like they're ready for another run for a Valley Championship.
You know who also is the cream of the crop? The legendary Ron Scott.
Yes, he is.
The head coach of the Fresno City Rams. 1,000-plus wins now. Coach Ron, Fresno City Rams. Coach Ron, how are you? Is he there? Well, are we even on the air? Well, we're going to get Ron in a minute. There's Ron.
Oh, there
Ron Scott, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams. 1,000-plus wins. Coach Ron, how are you?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
So Ron, baseball season, your opener is January the 25th versus Feather River. And if anyone's ever been to Feather River College, it's so far, you go north until you almost hit the moon. That's how north you go. It's way up there, but they're coming here for your opener.
Yeah, well, it's like it's opposite of Taft. Taft, you go to hell, you can turn back 2 miles. And then Feather River. But, you know, we actually open up at Skyline on Friday the 25th and 26th. Then we come home, and you're announcing that game on the 27th.
There you go. I'm excited.
Well, Skyline, what is Skyline? I'm not familiar with Skyline. Tell me about what.
It's up by the airport in San Francisco, but it's really nice. It's a nice college. They're always like one of the top between 10 and 16 teams, and you know, like ranked. Really good opponent. So it's up there in the San Mateo College of San Mateo district. You know, it's like Skyline, San Mateo in the same district.
Do they play football at Skyline?
No.
Okay. That's why I'm not clued in on this whole deal.
And
continue.
By the way, it's like one degrees up there. It's really nice. You know, the rains here, we shouldn't get a real heavy rain after this until the 25th of January. Normally comes.
Hey, so that's my next question. Ron Scott, we're talking with Fresno City Rams legendary coach. You always have to start when it's still hurricane blizzard weather out there. And how is the John Euless Field? How does that hold water?
Our field's gorgeous. It's all level. And so Darren Holt came down, leveled it in our school. Our maintenance group does a really good job. They've really stepped up over the years, and our field's nice. It's just wet. That's all. So we really can't officially start practice until Monday, so it really hasn't hurt us yet. But they're giving us 10 days to get ready for a 44-game schedule. They're giving us 10 days to practice the state. So I thought that was nice.
And then, you know, we talked about, I don't think you listened, but high school baseball is starting, it seems, 2 weeks early. But there's no state playoffs for high school baseball and softball. And I don't know, the southern section's not starting early. They go, hey, you know what, there's no state playoffs. We're going to wait until it gets a little warmer. I don't get it, but you always are the early, you know, everyone's out watching the Rams play early because we want to see baseball. But it starts really on Saturday night in the Fresno City Rams dinner. Tell us how people can still get tickets.
They can get a hold of you at your show. They can call our school, and they'll give you my cell number. I don't want to give it out now because people will be calling me at 1 in the morning when we lose or something. But they just can contact our school, our athletic department, and we'll get tickets to them. Or they can buy them at the door right at the night of the event. But I want to touch on is, you know, it's a miserable time of the year to play baseball, and the reason we start early is because we have to have our state championships in Memorial Weekend, so you have to play backwards from there, and we have to start that weekend. That's just the way we all have to start, and you know, it's tough on a kid to try and get a college scholarship and hit off some guy that's throwing 92 miles an hour under the lights when it's 32 out. You know, it's hard
good
to get
point.
Mad at a kid that doesn't get a hit because it's pretty tough up there.
We're talking with Ron Scott, the legendary head coach of the Fresno City Rams baseball team. And, of course, Saturday night is the big dinner. I know tonight, well, I'm going to get to see you. I'm up for Lymphoma Man of the Year. Nick Anderson will be there. He's excited to talk to you about Fresno City Rams baseball dinner. And it's going to be a good crowd tonight. But tell us about the team. We want to know about the team. Are we healthy? Because how do you go when you're pitching? Like you just said, it's freezing out there. What pitch count do you give these guys?
They're throwing really well, like 250 pitches. If they're not, we give them
perfect.
Like five. We'll probably be like 75 pitches if we feel like they're in good shape. We don't want to hurt them because it's actually more important to win it later than it is right now, even though we think they're all important. But tonight's your night. Tonight's the Nick Papegni night. So
yeah, we're going to have fun tonight. It's the Fresno All-Stars going to hang out at the Elbow Room. If you want to be there, be part of the Pagmeter All-Star team, get over to the Elbow Room. Matty, you're excited. Nick will be there. He's going to come on next after Ron Scott. But it's going to be fun just to see. I just thought it's a great way to see the old gang.
No question.
Well, Goldberg's coming, too, and so is Noakes. So we're going to represent Fresno City.
I was going to just text Coach, get him over there. He'll like everyone there. Tell us about the Rams, and we're going to be good, Nick. We can throw the ball. So I'm excited to have him there as well.
Coach, he does.
Yeah, he has that down. There's no question about it, Coach.
Well, you've got Tim Simons now.
Give him a little Tim Simons. I can't right now because
I put pressure on you.
No, no pressure. It's just you. When you haven't been around someone a lot, you start to lose the little dialect.
He knows Tim Simons. Yeah. Come on, give him a little Tim.
I'll give it to him this evening at the Elbow Room when we're talking about the raising money of for Lymphoma. Yeah, that'll good.
I'd like to hear that, by the way. Our dinner's going to be fabulous. We have it's a week earlier than normal, but we're going to have probably one of our biggest crowds we've ever had, so we're really excited about it.
Well, Coach, with all the victories and all the years you've been involved in baseball, and sometimes at points, you know, in the bantering between the Pag Meter and I get critical in baseball, and he hits me back, and we have this thing going on. And as a guy that, you know, spent most of my life in football, and I've played all the sports, but baseball, you have to give credit to the game, and help me out on this. There hasn't been much change in the game since, you know, the days of the beginning, whereas football, we're constantly changing rules and changing ways we protect and don't. Do things the way we used to do things. Has baseball, in all your years of being involved in that great sport, what has been any, if there is any change, and what is that?
Well, it's not like football. I think you guys have to change because people have gotten bigger, and the bigger they are, I mean, to make it safe, I think football had to make changes like they've made changes. But I'm speaking really as a baseball coach. But baseball, it's still the basic game. They throw it, you have to hit it, and you have to field it, and really just comes down to that, and it doesn't matter if you're really small, you could be the best player on the team, and if you know, to me it's all the same. I think kids throw harder obviously than they used to, but it's still, guys are bigger, and baseball to me is I always tell people it's America's pastime. It's a pure sport, and there hasn't been a lot of changes so much. I mean, baseball is baseball. You have to do those things. You can't hit, you're not going to go too far unless you're a catcher. Can't throw a strike, you're not going to go too far as a pitcher. I mean, it's unless you're left-handed, you know, left-handers got a break on life.
But now you have, but they have instituted change. I don't believe, maybe I'm wrong, they haven't taken replay in from Major League Baseball down to college level, have they?
No, but as far as replay goes, yeah, I mean, that's changed all the sports. I mean, basketball, did the guy's shoelace touch it? You know, replay is, it's unfortunate for me. I mean, some people say, well, at least you're getting it right, but it kind of takes out, I don't know, think about being a first-base umpire and have some nights you have no tough calls. And, by the way, we're honoring Rick Scarberry that night. He retired from umpiring. And we're on the 1972 state championship team, which is, they're all in town. So I think the alcohol sales will go up a lot this weekend because there's a 46-year reunion with those 72 guys. But think about being a first base umpire and have like eight really close calls and have them review all eight of them. And if you're right, six out of eight, you know, that's, you're probably going to feel pretty good about yourself. But, you know, to me, it's just, I don't know, it takes some of the whatever it is out of the game.
Well, what about, you know, there is some safety factors they've instituted. Obviously, the catcher is more protected now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Maybe it's because Buster Posey got hurt. You know, if I would have got hurt, the rule would still be the same. they're protecting people. I mean, they're protecting with the slides, and they probably should because people are bigger and, you know, and some people play a little bit dirtier than others, but, it's not like football. Football, they had to do it. Baseball, they're protecting catchers at home plate on slides. You know, in college, yeah. If you run over a catcher in college, you're out of the game. And if you're out of the game, you have to sit out at the next game. Even if the catcher's coming up the line to meet you and you run into him, you're out. So that's the rule, obviously, I don't like. But.
Yeah, I don't like that either. We're talking with Ron Scott. I don't like it because it's a common sense rule. This is why you don't see first basemen being run over, because everyone knows you get first baseman's out of the baseline, he stretches, you're not even close. If he's in the baseline, he's fair game. That's how we've always been taught. Coach Noakes will tell you. Same thing with the catcher. If the catcher's in the line, to me, he's got to go, okay? If he's not, you slide like a normal slide.
You know, and some kids don't even see it coming because they're running as hard as they can to home plate, and they look up, and all of a sudden there's the catcher, and there's a collision, and a lot of umpires, most of them will toss the runner. And if you don't run them over, then your whole team will say, hey, what's wrong with you? You're not a tough guy. To me, I really have a hard time with the collision at home plate. I mean, if it's malicious, and boom, throw them out. But a collision at home plate, if it's baseball and it's clean and, you know, the catcher gets ran over, he gets ran over. That's part of being a catcher, to be honest with you.
Well, one other question, when it comes to equipment, once again, for a person who's not, you know, in the know on certain things like this, why is the shoe that the baseball teams play? You've got your metal spike, and then you have a molded spike on the bottom of your baseball cleat. What's the difference? And it just seems to me, every time I see one of those bottoms of some of these metal spikes, that looks like a heck of a weapon.
But see, that's been there all the time, and as long as I've been around baseball, I've only seen a handful of people get spiked. So,
yeah.
You know, if a guy's high spikes, he's a dirty player, and he gets punished, he gets thrown out of the game. But I really think these molded cleats and you know, some leagues make kids play with these plastic cleats. To me, they're dangerous. And when they hit home plate in February and it's wet, they're going to end up in the first row of the
Yeah. Well said, well said. I just go back to my days, my dad playing football at Oklahoma, and I've looked at his cleats, and they were metal. There were metal steel studs that they played with. I'm thinking, boy, and he's told me he has guys he played with that their hands are permanently scarred from being stepped on. I mean, just, and I looked with Nick just the other day at First String Sports, and I saw the metal spikes on the bottom of a nice new Adidas foot or a baseball cleat, and I thought, how is that any different than a football cleat with metal on it? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know, but that makes me laugh about the Knicks, about the hands. Yeah, how about your dad? He didn't wear a face mask either, did he?
He didn't. Well, no, he did actually. Like about the second year he was playing, you know, real competitive stuff. They had a little like clear Lucite shield that went right over the top of their jaw. Basically, they started to introduce face masks. By the time he was about a sophomore.
I'm just wondering if Matt Johnson wore a face mask. If you look, you know, I'm looking at you right now.
I don't
it's
think
not
and there's
pretty.
Several. You listen to. I'm clean. I've had one broken nose, and they did a good job on it and made it nice. But I think a lot of guys, right? A lot of players are advocating that might as well just either take the helmet off or take the face mask off, and maybe you'd even be a little bit more protected. But I don't buy that for a minute.
Well, Ron will tell you back in the day that like Willie Mays days, they didn't wear batting helmets. Hockey. The goalies didn't wear masks. Can you imagine that? The hockey with no mat, you know, face mask.
Wow.
I love it when a good hockey player smiles at you and he looks like a jack-o'-lantern and he's got about 7 feet.
Those are men. That's a real sport.
That is a real sport. Think of how athletic they are running around those blades. But, Matt, what do you think about all those – I know it's baseball and everything, but it seems like when some of these hits helmet-to-helmet from the secondary – some of them, to me, just seem like they can't be avoided, and all of a sudden there's a 15-yard penalty just because maybe the runner ducked, and you know, if I know gamblers, I'm not one, but could you imagine some of the different calls been made?
Well, no, and I'll answer that, and I'll be glad that we can talk about that. If you would just stay on the line through the break. We have to take a break, but thank you, Coach Ron Scott. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to 940 ESPN. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back to the Rise Show. We're going to have a heartbreak coming up in a few minutes. I hope Ron can hold on. We got Ron Scott, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams, with us. Ron, after our two-minute break, can you come back on? Are you okay? Just want to double-check.
Yeah, that's all right. Sure.
Oh, beautiful. Now, the Saturday night, the big dinner, Fresno City Rams, this is what I love about it. Every high school baseball coach will be there, and they start talking about their team, and everyone wants to sandbag. Well, you know, we're just not very good. And you hear it all the time, Ron. But they don't tell you about Gary Kershaw, maybe the third nephew on the dad's side, transferred in. They don't want to tell you that early. But it's a great time on Saturday night to get over there. It's a great way to start the baseball season. And it's the best party in town.
Well, it's the best party in town. But I don't know if all the high school guys go, but most of them do. But just so people don't get the wrong impression, there's a lot of people that go to this dinner and then – the following day, they don't even realize it was like a Fresno City baseball dinner. They just showed up and went with somebody as a guest, and they ended up running into a whole bunch of people and had a great time and danced till midnight. And so to me, it's like to look around and see 900 people having a good time and reminiscing, and like our 72 team will have a blast. But just, you know, it's just a great event. And I tell the people this every year. No matter what, we would do this every year because it's such a fun event. I think everyone loves going to it.
Well, Ron, stay on the line. We'll be back. We're going to talk to Ron Scott one more time, and we're going to talk. We've got some baseball questions. We're going to find out about the Rams baseball team as well. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, Ron Scott here on The Rise Show with the Pag Meter, Matty J. You're listening to The Rise Show. Don't go anywhere.
It's time for the 940 ESPN Rise Show. The 940 ESPN Rise Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. This is the Rise Show. The Pag Meter, Matty J. Nick Anderson coming up in a few from Helena Agra Enterprises. We'll talk to Nick in basketball. We got right now here at Fashion Furniture, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Ron Scott. Mr. Ron Scott, is it the 31st annual dinner Saturday night? What I love about this dinner, Ron, there's nowhere in Fresno ever you can take your wife or your girlfriend or whoever you want to take out to go dancing anymore. The ladies love it because they can dance all night long. Am I right?
No, it's right, and it's it goes too. It goes to almost midnight, and you know what's funny about it is seeing some of the people that dance, because a lot of people come and they want to dance and they don't want to listen to me talk, and this year they won't listen to you or me talk since you're going to be emceeing it, but they just want to dance. But it's kind of fun to see some of the older people get out there and, you know, strap it on the dance floor and have a good time.
You know what's amazing with Ron Scott is the ladies are all out there dancing with her. There's like 10 ladies dancing together, and the guys are sitting there watching. But picture it the other way around. If me, Ron, Matt Johnson, and Mike Noakes are out dancing, just the four of us, we're on some sort of YouTube channel.
Well, we're on YouTube, and we're in different board meetings. We're talking to board members.
Listen,
I'm not a full-time faculty member anymore. I retired from teaching, I don't have as much pull as I used to have, so I have to be careful what I say. So I would just say, yeah, that would be different.
Well, yeah, it would be. And when I need to go take my little break to the restroom, I don't need to get four or five of my friends. Come on with me. I'm going. You want to go? Let's go. I just go and I come back and I catch up with you guys at the, you know, the martini line.
But it's a great night. You have the silent auction. I mean, you have the auction items out there. It's a great night.
No, it's, go ahead, Ron. It's a great night. I'll tell you what it is. It's a great night for us. I just ordered like $25,000 worth of stuff, like pitching machines and hats and shoes and all these extra things I think that make our program special. And I'm not even talking about the coaching staff, which I think is phenomenal. But this night kind of makes or breaks our season. So our kids, once they leave us, I feel like they've already played at a D1 level and they've been treated like a they're going to be treated there, except for they're not going to be flying around like on an airplane.
That's awesome.
One thing I talk when I tell talk to the old players or even the current players, how'd you like it at Fresno City? And they all say the same thing. Well, we learned so much, but it's a great time. The coaches are the funniest. It's a comedy show out there. You guys all get along. You're family. That's what I love about you guys.
Yeah, we're best friends. I'm not sure we're a comedy show on the field. We are at the dinner, but you know, we have a lot of strong opinions, and I feel that one reason we're successful is we all get all the coaches. We all say our piece, and if there's a heavy decision to be made, I would make that as the head coach. But you know, as a head coach, I listen to every coach, and everybody fights for their position players, and their input is very special. And you know, for the most part, if Darren Gamani, our infield coach, says, "Hey, I really want to play this guy at second," well, he's going to play second because he's done something to get, you know, Coach Gamani's attention. So, I love our staff as close as we are. We all have our own opinions, and it's to me, it's nice to hear them all.
Well, Ron, we're talking Ron Scott, Fresno City Rams. I got a lot of emails coming in. They want to know about the team. Let's start with the pitching staff. How are the Rams pitching going? How are they looking?
Well, they're all going to pitch because we're only going to have 10 days of practice. I like our pitching staff. You know, we have Alex Gamboa who's coming. You know, he's a legend. He hasn't really even pitched, but he has a chance to be one of the best pitchers in JC. He probably won't be ready for another month or so. And Kaitier Prieto is back from Northridge, Fresno High kid, and his arm hurts a little bit. So those two guys, they might be a real shot in the arm for us, you know, about a month down the road. But we have a whole, you know, Cole Seamus, you know, Nick Falco. I mean, I could go on forever and tell you all the guys we have. We just have a bunch of, I think, really good arms. And they're all going to get a chance to pitch. And because, you know, each game in 9 innings, 75 pitches, they're probably going to go, you know, 2-3 innings. And so it'll be fun because we're going to get to see them all pitch early.
Well, let's talk about the Rams infield and outfield. How are we looking on that side of the ball?
Well, we have Ian Ross back. We're not sure where he's going to play, but probably third. But he's a preseason All-American. He's an academic All-American. We're really lucky to have him back. The ball comes off his bat a lot different than anyone else. And then we just have a good group of guys in the middle that, you know, whoever surfaced there is going to be good. We have about four guys that are not proven at our level yet, but they're very talented. And, you know, we love our catching. We believe we have three really good catchers. And I know most people would be happy with one, but we just happen to have three this year and that are really good. And they're all – I think they're all going to play, you know, so that means someone's going to get bumped somewhere. And then I know you haven't asked about the outfield, but we have Chet Allison back, and I think he's one of the premier outfielders in Northern California. He's out of Clovis High School. We're really lucky to even have him because I don't know why he didn't scholarship out of that place, but we're lucky. He'll get a really good scholarship, as will Ian. They're two of the better players at our level.
It's always a great atmosphere watching Rams baseball. John Euless, the great ballpark. It's almost, I mean, everyone's local out there. You get great crowd. The snack bar, the hot dogs are off the charts. I'm just excited for baseball season. And there's nothing like it. You get so many local kids out there and the fam. This is what when we talk local, recruiting local, nothing better than Fresno City Rams baseball.
No, and it all starts Saturday. I mean, before you know it, we'll be, you know, Saturday night's a really, really fun night. And then before you know it, less than 2 weeks, we're going to be opening up at Skyline. And I know John Van Ornum, he's a name in this town. You know, he coached Fresno Giants and the San Francisco Giants. His grandson is here from the University of Houston. He's a second baseman shortstop. So he just came in at the break, and we're really excited to have him. We expect big things out of him. So, and his mom went to Bullard High School, I think. So even though he's from out of town, he's got a lot of local ties, and, you know, getting John Van Ornum around again is great. You know, he's a legend in this town. So, you're right. It's a local, it has local flavor all the way. And I wish they put box scores in the Fresno Bee, but, because they're all local kids and everybody would follow them. So, but they don't do that anymore, which is unfortunate, but, it really has a local flavor and Fresno's a great baseball town.
Talk with Ron Scott, head coach, Fresno City Rams baseball. And you nailed it, but I would recommend for junior and senior parents who are thinking about going to City College. This is what I always say about if you're going to go to your local high school fundraiser. Next week, Clovis East, I'm going to be the MC there. If you're a middle school, go. And if you're a high school kid and you're thinking about playing at City, go meet the kid, go meet the coaches. And it's a great time to meet them at the baseball dinner because you guys are having a great time. You come and introduce yourself to Ron Scott and the staff. There's nothing better than that.
Well, I believe that. So I appreciate the kind words, but this is our 31st year, and I think the dinner has perpetuated itself. It seems like it gets bigger and bigger. And like one of my coaches the other day asked to go, "Hey, how are we doing on ticket sales? Are we selling any?" And I go, "Man, you won't believe it. It's crazy out there." And so I just think people, they hear about it, and I think we do a pretty good job promoting it, of course. And we do this without, you know, we don't put this in the B or anything. And it's kind of a self-promotion, but it really seems to work. So we're really excited about it.
And you can follow the PAG meter. I'll have all the updates for you if you need tickets. Get a hold of the PAG meter, and I'll take care of you, and we'll figure out how to get you a ticket. You've got to be there Saturday night. What time does it start, Coach?
Cocktail hour goes from 6 to midnight. It's a long hour. But dinner is at 7:15.
7:15, but Pardini's is there catering to exhibit hall. You'll know everyone. It's a reunion. I'm going to get Matt there this Saturday night. He's never been. He goes, "Nick, I won't know anybody." And I'm like, "Are you kidding?"
Well,
half the people there hate you, Matt. The other half will love you.
Matt,
tell him that all the time.
The half that hate you, maybe they like me, and the half that hate me, maybe they like you. But you're such a famous person. You'll be signing autographs before that most of the night there.
Yeah, so I'll have 450 enemies and 450 people that I'll be hanging out with. I think I like those odds. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I do it every dinner, so that's
there you go.
Hey, Coach, I can't wait to see you Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun, and nothing better than the 31st annual. Again, you do so much for the community with that dinner, and I've said it before. You're helping out restaurants, baby showers, wedding showers. There's more. I'll just have to tell you know what I'm talking about, but it's a great time at the dinner.
Yeah, I'm okay. I was waiting for you to get to that, but you didn't. You cleaned
well, I think we're at. I believe we're at 498 right now, Ron. I got to double check. I don't know the numbers. 498 babies are born 9 months after this dinner, so we're almost at the 500 mark. So you're that's what I talk about, Matt. He's helping out baby showers,
all industries,
the restaurants,
yep. The clinics, everything.
Baby shoes,
yep. Every industry out there is affected by this trickle down economics of Ron Scott and Fresno City baseball. Love it. What a party Saturday.
I want to make sure everybody. That was a quote out of Nick Papagni's mouth, not mine.
Yeah,
but you guys crack me up. You're right, though. We are. We're civil minded. We're civic minded. We want to help everybody out in the community.
All right, Coach. We will see you Saturday night, and I'll see you tonight with Coach Mike and Eric at the Elba Room. We're excited to see you guys.
Thanks, boys. Talk to you later.
All right. Right, legendary Ron Scott.
Ronnie Scott.
Let's take a break. Let's talk a little basketball. Nick Anderson in the house.
Let's
there's
do
a guy
that.
Who.
Oh, yeah. High school basketball now. They're in the league, and it's getting hot.
February 22nd, 23rd, it's right around the corner, the road to Selden Arena.
It's there.
Let's take a break. Basketball coming up next. Don't go anywhere on 940 ESPN.
Number one show in the Valley. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back, live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. It's the PAG meter. It's Matt Johnson. We're going to bring up Nick Anderson, talk a little basketball here. But Fashion Furniture, The January clearance sale is getting ready to rock and roll, Matty.
Yes, sir, indeed. And there's always some action going on here at Fashion Furniture, depending on what type of pieces you need to accentuate the positives in your home.
Nick Anderson now, probably the guy, I think between you two,
yes,
probably more hated than the Pag Meter now, and I love it.
Okay, you're absolutely
welcome
out
in, Nick.
Yeah, you're out of your mind. Continue to try selling that dream to people, but no one's really listening.
Can you please, by the way, it's good to see you boys.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you define hate?
Well, okay, let's just sort out there because I've got a million emails. Memorial versus Clovis West basketball. I'm doing the game live on Twitter. You're next to me. You've got a ton of Memorial people on the other side taunting Cole Anderson. Cole Anderson, kick his the whole game. As a father, I don't know. I would have stormed the floor. I don't know how you did it. So all of a sudden you got some bad press. All I could say is I was there. I saw what happened. Nick did not do anything wrong. I would have done the same thing. I would have taken a little extra step. They would have had to carry me out. Matt, you know me.
I've seen that show.
Okay.
It usually doesn't end well. But
I don't know why.
You have to do what you have to do. Here's the thing. Can I make a point? No, now I'm one of the hated, as you say, what have you. Okay.
Yeah, you're playing with house money.
You're the most sensationalized. You'll take one incident. What's the word that all these people say? They lose the game. And so I say, I don't want this game to define of what we've done. That one moment in a single man's life does not define who he is. That is not his style. But Papa Bear has to sometimes protect the youngins. That's just part of the game. I hate to tell you.
I think all parents will agree. Nothing wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing
right,
wrong.
Nick?
So let's. Yeah, but at home people are probably on the road listening. What happened? This has to be. No, it was a singular incident. Some. What do they call vitriol statements were being made about one of his. It is blood, you know. It is his son, who's a pretty good little basketball player.
29 points last night.
And it probably got to be too much. My wife would not sit in the grandstands while I coached football at a certain high school. She had to go away from the area where the normal. She had to go on the visitor side because she didn't want to hear the stuff that was being said about me during a football game.
Well, your wife also didn't know you were coaching.
Well, I know that, but it's still. And there are many. I remember Tim McDonald when he'd go to Little League baseball games, whatever. He did not want to sit. He made a point to go down the third baseline, way out. He just did not want to be around hearing the things of what people will say about student athletes. And it's just sometimes is out of control.
So, Nick, Cole is one of the top one or two, three best players in the Central section. And just like Jalen Green and Cole and the top players, you got to let that stuff go, right? Because you got teams all over you, physically, mentally, everything, whatever, to take yourself out of the game. And teams are trying to do that to Cole, but he's cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain people out there. I mean, Matt said it best. I mean, I have three kids, okay? And I think anybody, the three of us, we all have kids. So anything our kids do, we kind of spend some time with in our lives, right? It's important to us. When people cross the line, and there's also another side to every story, as I tried to mention a couple weeks ago to that interesting caller that we had that afternoon. But there's a lot of things that lead up to certain things, and you do certain things to protect your kids. And when people cross that line, you do some things that you need to do, right, in the right way, as long as it's done properly. So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I have three kids. They all play. Two of them play Division I basketball. Cole's a good player. You're going to bring some of that on you when you start to become that type of player. So you got to put up with it. But there's certain people that make certain comments, I think, that are kind of out of hand. So, yeah, you're going to defend that. And I'm going to defend that all day long. I'm just happy I'm popular because I can't imagine why something as small as this can make somebody so popular. So I feel real privileged these days, gentlemen.
Thank you, Nick Anderson.
But also, too, I think we all recognize as adults that we do have to be mindful of, number one, the position or the voice that we have in the Valley. Whether you're coaching or you're teaching or you're obviously on this radio show, we do have an obligation to at least control ourselves to the best of our ability. It's just where people blur the lines between what's right and wrong. But when it comes to family, probably more crazy things that are totally out of character of anybody in this country happens when someone of your family members is being verbally assaulted, damaged, or, 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 or looked upon or frowned upon in a way that you have to step up and take,
well said.
Take care. So I take that. I understand it. People ask me about it. I was not there. I tell the thing just like I just said on the air. It happened. It's over with. But that does not define who we are. The sensationalism that comes out of Pag Meter's mouth does not define who he is. He'll tell you that they won 15 games. They actually won maybe 8 games. we'll talk about a score during a basketball game that he's getting
greatest
looks
game look, of all
that
time.
He's getting looks and offers from Duke and everywhere else. But actually, Reedley Collins would be lucky to get this kid. That's just the way we operate. Okay, so
haven't missed a free throw since the second grade.
Haven't missed a free throw since the second grade. I jinxed him. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
So Nick Anderson, Matt Johnson, Aquarius. Let's talk basketball. A lot of people want to know, and the South Valley, they all listen to us right now. Is the South Valley basketball down a bit this year? Because it seems like the North teams are loading up for a run.
Yeah, in my opinion, I've seen the South play, you know, a number of times, whether it be in the Clovis West tournament or up at Modesto, Foothill, Liberties, which are two solid teams coming out of Kern County. I think they're two good teams. They've got some good players on those teams, no question.
Talking Liberty-Bakersfield.
Liberty-Bakersfield,
sorry. And Bakersfield.
Yes, and they've gone out and they've played against some good teams, and they've stayed with some, and they've lost to some. But I think those are probably the two better teams from Kern County this year. From Bakersfield Christian is also another team down there that I think has a lot of opportunity as they move towards that playoff.
They might be the best team in Bakersfield right now.
Why do you think? Is it just pure population numbers, or why do you think there's this? Is it just a Clovis Unified explosion, or a Central, or even an Edison in the history of basketball, along with Bullard? But why does it seem like in the world of basketball at the big level, too, specifically Division I, it seems to be that we always seem to have a little bit of a big time upper hand? Like we are the
right now, but 2 years ago in football, Bakersfield was way down, and then this year they had a pretty good year with Liberty and Bakersfield.
But there was always, it was always Bakersfield or Liberty.
Yeah.
Or where here it's maybe. been Edison, Bullard, Central, Clovis West, Clovis High, Clovis
More
North.
Teams.
Is it just
more
population, you think? More to
choose
from?
Well, just look at our section compared to the southern section. There's more. This is why they're always a powerhouse in the state playoffs. They got more to choose from.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but it seems to me that this time of year, as we get on this road to selling in the world of basketball, there's always more advantage for a chance to win a title, it seems to be, in this part of the section, as opposed to...
Well, and then we got Central Section as well. So if you look at the Pag Meter's top five, and I just came out with it again, you got Clovis West.
Well, you're talking about Arroyo Grande and the schools that came over.
Yeah, Clovis North is number – I mean, I'm sorry, Clovis East is number two, St. Joseph 3, Arroyo Grande 4, and Bullard 5. All Division I teams, because Arroyo Grande beat Bullard, St. Joseph beat Arroyo Grande, and Clovis West beat Arroyo Grande. I mean, so it's who you beat.
Yeah, who did Bullard lose to?
They lost to Bakersfield, Clovis North.
Arroyo Grande.
Man, I just have a hard time believing that Bullard is not one, Bullard, or two, or three in this.
Yeah, if you're a Bullard Knight fan, you're the best 28-minute team there is in the Valley. I don't know what it is yet. They just mentally, like we did the game on Friday night against Memorial. Memorial had all their stars out, all their, and they cut it to four with 3 minutes to go, and that was a ball game.
Yeah, that game, I watched that game. I listened to you two do that game, and that you guys did a wonderful job, by the way. The Valley should be happy to have you, both of you guys, doing the, whether it be high school football or high school basketball or baseball even so, because without you two guys, there'd be a lot of things that were missed. So I'm not going to cry now, but I thought I'd throw that in there. But watching that game, I didn't get a chance to get down there because they weren't going to let me in anyway. So I watched it because I have a lot of family friends that have kids that play on that team, and it was really good to watch that game. I thought Memorial played very well. Bullard was doing their thing, but the fight that Memorial had in the second half, it really showcased a lot of the skill sets of some of these other kids that you haven't seen a whole lot of this year. And all of a sudden now you're like, wow, look at that. I mean, like Jaden Garone, for example, played in that game, and I thought he played great in the second half. He turned it on. He started getting fired up. And you hadn't seen that in him yet because he hasn't been given the opportunity. So that's a great example of a team that if they allow those kids to play together and play and share the ball a little bit more, I'm certain that Memorial would be even better than they are today.
And I would guess even Coach Ross, who we love, looked like he was having fun coaching those young guys. They were playing as a team.
Well,
love that.
The key factor is the marquee LeBron James of our valley, Jalen Green, being out of the game. That has to be a lot of pressure not only on a coach but on his teammates, because in one regard you want him to do what he does, which is go put the basketball in the hoop. And that kind of eliminates a few players on the court with him. When you're as good as he is, I can't imagine how difficult it is to try to, I don't want to say massage egos or any of that, but when you're that talented, you want to, as a coach, sit back and say, man, go do your thing. Spread it out, get the spacing right, and let him go do his thing. But then again, someone like Jaden Garone and those type players, and the young freshman, the transfer in from the Madera.
JoJo Hunter.
Yeah, JoJo Hunter, to me, was that was I've heard about him. I've watched him in junior high school. But I kind of, yeah.
He had a breakout game, didn't he?
That's a breakout game.
Yeah.
He showed why.
And
he
the other
is.
One is Justin Hillscamp, who would be averaging 20-plus points a game if he was on any other team.
Yeah.
Now, when you do have the LeBron James, the Kobe Bryant of the Valley playing, you don't know if you're going to get a pass or not. You really don't know, so you're right. You're probably not in the game, but they sure were the other night.
Man,
that was a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, you've got some kids there that are going to play at the next level, and you know they're young, yeah. But I hate always saying, hey, kids are young. But you mentioned JoJo Hunter; he's got to be a very good player, and he definitely have opportunities to do a lot of things down the road. Jaden Garone's a superior shooter. Ball handling has gotten a lot better, and I think you'll continue to watch him grow even more. So that team, even down the road, if you look at that light at the end of the tunnel, is going to become even a better team as they move on, if they all hang out together. I know a few of those kids very well because they played with Cole as Cole came through Kasner. So that was a pretty good group of kids.
So they
there.
Left Kasner to go play Memorial.
A couple of them.
Can you imagine if they were all at Clovis West, how good Clovis West would be?
Oh, that just tells you a lot about the transferring thing. But they're in good shape. They're there, and I think they're in a good spot. There's nothing wrong with these kids moving around and doing what they want to do. So, you know, we're still in contact with those guys, and I think they're doing well. But I'm just getting back to that game I saw against Bullard. I had a big smile on my face to see the successes out of some of those kids. You know, JD, for example, that, by the way, JD, Nick, name, however you want to say it. I mean, we called him JD when he was at Kasner, so
I got yelled at.
But I get that, but that nickname was well before it. He got to Memorial, unless I'm missing something, which I could be. But according to Cole, that was the case. So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So, but no, it was good to watch that game. Look forward to seeing you guys do the other games. But honestly, down the road, it looks like what you guys are describing right now, as far as hoops goes, Division I pretty much owns the best teams in the Valley today. You've got Memorial Division II, which is where they're at, number 7 for you overall right now?
Yes.
Okay, so you got the other 6 teams above them are all D1?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say right now the track, if you look at any conference right now, any league I should say, the track is definitely the toughest. From what we're seeing from Clovis East right now, which is a very extremely well-coached team.
Let's stop right there for a minute. You've been doing this many, many years, and you're son and daughter, you guys are basketball family here, obviously. Are we missing the boat on what I'm seeing out of Clovis East? Because to me it looks like the best overachieving, best well-oiled machine for what he has to fight with on game day of any of the schools out there. The fact in the PAG meter poll that Clovis East is number 2, that to me is, I don't know if I've ever had a team that I look at from just eyeball test that's ever ranked that high.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine. When I look at Bullard, I say, oh, they've got some length. They've got some dudes who've been in the
Bullard
championship
Bullard shouldn't game. Lose
a game. And then I see other games, too. I see even down south, Liberty. How's that team not number 2 compared to speaking? So do
Liberty had a little issue with their coach.
Yeah, but I want to ask Nick, and he can answer it after the break. But the question would be, What's the deal with Clovis East? What makes that team click play such good quality basketball?
Let's talk about it when we come back. That's a great question. And you can call our show. Call Russ in the studio, 844-940-ESPN. We'll be right back. Talk about high school basketball.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
I want to thank Firehouse Subs. Great job today, Roger, bringing in the beautiful sandwiches. Blackstone & Niece and Herndon & Fowler is Firehouse Subs. Also, Helen Agra Enterprises does not get enough love since football season's over. They're a big sponsor of ours, Matt, doing football and stuff. They don't get enough love. Ben, Nick Anderson in the house. Thank you for what you guys do for local sports.
You're welcome. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, before the break, we took a chance to talk with someone that I believe, you know, anytime you've been through the circles from both boys basketball, girls basketball, but you've been around long enough to really explore because your kids are playing so many games. So you get to really get a sense of what's happening on the basketball court. And I'm, of course, talking about Mr. Anderson, Nick Anderson. Daughter's son right now is doing great things at Clovis West. We'll be playing Division I basketball when he graduates. But we're talking about Clovis East basketball. I asked the question. When I look at that team with just the eyeball test, okay, they're layup line, they're efficient, but there's nothing that really pops out to me. But yet they are ranked number 2 in the PagMeter report.
14 and 3,
number 2 in the Valley behind Clovis West. What is it in your time of being part of this world of basketball, what is it you think they do that really puts them in a position to be where they're at today?
Well, I mean, this season so far, and I'm not going to lie to you, I have not seen Clovis East play this year one time. The last time I saw him play was in a preseason tournament, which you can take those things. There's no football guys there. The teams are kind of here and there. But what I know about Clovis East and watching them last year, and they achieved, you know, they were good last year as well when it came to the track. They pushed Clovis West last year. I remember those games. They just have it all going on, meaning that they have good team concept going right now. All the kids are bought in to what I think Coach Wiggins is doing out there. So you're getting a lot of different feel from different kids. You've got kids that probably on other programs probably wouldn't even start, and they're starting and playing at a high level for him. So he's getting the most, and you know this, Matt, as a coach, that you can take your talent, and your talent's given to you. You don't choose your talent. It just shows up there, and you got to figure out a way to get the most out of each kid that's playing for you, right?
Yep.
He's doing that.
Yeah, and what I noticed right to the point, which I think goes right with what you're saying, the buy-in. Have been to a lot of basketball games leading through the holidays, and now as we get into league play and all the conferences around our valley, they're one of the teams, and I think Bakersfield plays this way, but they play with such emotion and energy and passion. The entire bench gets off their feet. They're constantly making noise. They're cheering. It's, you know, we made a comment last night as we watched the game that Clovis East, look, there's guys that are down there that probably hardly ever see the court, but they look as tired and as bought into this game as much as the guy who's playing, you know, both halves. It's an incredible group of, as you said, basketball players that have bought into whether they're getting 1 minute, no minutes, or they play the entire game. They're all in this thing as a unit. It's good to watch.
So you say that, and you're absolutely right. I was talking to somebody earlier this morning about your role.
Yeah.
What is your role, okay, as a player? And sometimes your role isn't going to be that guy. And you have to just say, okay, this is going to be my role, and I'm going to do this. And it kind of goes back to anybody on that team. So when we say team, you're talking about the person that's going to score 20 points a game, 15, 20 points a game, whatever you're going to be. But you're also going to talk that role player that can, in some cases, be the captain of the team, but they happen to be on the bench more than they are on the court.
Yep.
But they're leading what you're just described. And that's that cheering for the team, making the team – first person off the bench to congratulate people during timeouts. You see that in that team. Now, you see that in a lot of other teams in the area, too. So I'm not saying nobody else does that. But that's what it takes to get a team like that to play at a level like they're playing right now. So I think currently, you know, based off of what happened last night, you go into Clovis North and you play against that team, in that. I'll call it an arena because it is an arena. It's not easy to win in there. So for them to go in there last night and fight the way they fought and get out of there with a victory, regardless if it was a few points or not, that tells you a lot about that team. And because Clovis North is a good fighting team. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down the road. But there's probably three teams in the track right now that I think are people are kind of talking about being those top three. North is one of them. East was one. Clovis West, of course.
And look at the three coaches you mentioned. Vance Wahlberg, Tony Amundson, and Adrian Wiggins. And you got to watch Arroyo Grande. Tell us about that, because they might be a selling arena. Tell us about that team.
Arroyo Grande is much like Clovis West. You refer to Clovis West as a Duke type of a team. Arroyo Grande is a Duke type of team. They spread it really well. They've got some really good shooters. They can shoot to three, but they battle. They don't quit. They got that team concept that Matt alluded to earlier in terms of Clovis East. So, yeah, it was good. I'm glad that Clovis West went over there and played. Bullard went over there.
You won a close game by two.
Yes, and no idea what you're getting into because we hadn't seen those guys play ever before. You just heard things about Arroyo Grande. So, yeah, that's a really good team. I was surprised at San Luis Obispo. I thought San Luis Obispo was going to be a bit better than they were. But they're not that team that I thought they might have been.
And St. Joseph beat Arroyo Grande.
That would have been the two teams. Yeah. If you really wanted to, it would have been fun to watch. Preseason's always funny about those type of things. You don't want to play two great teams on the same weekend. But St. Joe's and Arroyo Grande, definitely the two teams to beat in that area over there.
Let's talk a little bit Bullard Knights, because I think they have the most talent of anybody in the Valley. They are loaded, but they're just... For some reason.
Okay, go ahead.
But I'm just saying they
I don't know if they have the most talent.
Well, they look good.
Yeah.
Put it that way. They are loaded as much as Memorial.
Warm-ups, layup lines, I agree. I was there on the court
but
side.
But what am I missing
like,
about the Bullard
Knights? This looks like a junior college team.
Yeah, how does Clovis North beat them, and how does Bakersfield beat them? How do teams like that beat them? Why aren't they finishing?
So what we just talked about earlier, I think, goes into Bullard. And I think if Tim was sitting here right now, he might look at me a little bit weird, but I think he would agree with me at some point. That they the way Bullard's been playing, the way I've seen them play, they're a pretty decent first half team. They seem to do some funny things in the second half. Whether they be up big or they're down a bit, it seems like once that second half starts, they're slow to get started after halftime. And in some cases, that's put them in a bad situation. They've got, Matt says, they don't have a lot of talent, but they have some pretty darn good talent. And I think they could be a lot better than they currently are. But down the road, as we get closer to the playoffs, and right now, they beat Memorial the other day. I don't care who was on the court and who wasn't. They won the game, so they own that W. They play Memorial at home, in a couple weeks or something, a few weeks from now. That game, by the time they play, both those teams should be undefeated by then.
Yeah.
And that'll either be for an outright championship or a co-championship.
Speaking of Memorial, Division II, who's going to hang with those guys? Right now, either Independence, and you watch San Luis Obispo. Can anyone hang with Memorial in Division II?
I don't think so. No. Not with if Jalen Green's on the court and they're full staff and they play as a team like they I think they've played more and more as a team as each game goes on. And that's what I'm saying. They're playing in Division II, and they really are a Division I team. And I know we go back to that whole thing about why are they doing this, but we're not going to get into that. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, there's a huge, huge gap between Division I and Division II right now as far as talent. There is no comparison at all. So when people start talking about stats and points per games and wins, and who have you played, man? I mean, seriously, did you play anybody preseason? Memorial's gone out, and they've played some pretty darn good games preseason. So I don't care if they play D2 or not during league. That's just a league they have or gets teams in the Division II, and that's the division they're playing in, that's fine. But they have gone out and played some pretty good, darn good teams. Some of these other teams around the area that have these guys scoring 35 to 40 points a game, I mean, they haven't played anybody. But everybody's all jumping up and down like we've got all these guys running around. Get out and play against somebody, and let's see how you do before you start throwing out all this social media videos and all those fun things that everybody loves to do. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I'm starting to kind of, but I'm following that logic, obviously, a little bit, because out at Liberty Madera Rancho is arguably, you know, one of the top five basketball players in our section, Makani Whiteside, is having his way with teams, but yet they're, when they go up in talent, just look at their schedule.
They lost the other night to Yosemite.
Yeah, he struggles a little bit now. You know, he's throwing up, you know, 9 for 30 on the shot. I mean, it's not like it's all.
So my question to you guys,
cake for him.
If Cole Anderson or if Jalen Green was playing
at Madera Ranchos.
It would be.
And he's by, they're by themselves. How are they doing?
Well,
but you also got to remember something. Cole Anderson plays 2.5 quarters a game. And so, and I bet you whoever you're talking about plays the entire game.
Well, all,
if,
well, yeah.
if they're smart,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
You got your best players playing.
Of
now, the difference is, wait, Division One, like Tim Amison at Bullard, they're rotating 10, 12, 15. He'd put in the cheerleaders if he could. He wants to rotate and wear teams down. Where I think Division Five, you're going with your best. You're maybe
you have to, because you don't have the depth. I get that.
Of course, but also.
But then why post stats then? Because stats aren't everything. If you're going to play the entire game and shoot the ball 90 times a game and you got another guy that's averaging 18 points, 15 points, or whatever he's doing, but he's playing 2.5 quarters, there's a difference.
I think if I have LeBron James on my team and he's scoring 40, I want to let him know that he's on my team.
Well,
that's why they do it.
Well, not just that.
Everybody needs a little good day.
Stats is the tool. Let's just say for the sake. Let's say that I'm wearing a college recruiter's hat. Stats going to tell me that if you're shooting 30% from the field, that you might have a little problem that we need to look at before we pull the trigger and bring you in.
Stats, not points.
Stats.
Okay, I get
stats.
It. Right?
I'm talking stats.
Yep.
Stats. Stats tell you that, you know, we have a poor rebounding team here. We need to work on that. We turn the ball over too much. You get excited, or he gets excited, or I get excited about a guy who threw up 36 on someone. Well, he's playing, you know, weak sisters of the blind. That to me does not get me excited. What gets
college
me excited,
recruiters will
what
know.
Gets me excited is when I look at the stats and they tell me that he was 14 for 17 from the field, and 8 of those were 3-pointers. He can play basketball. Right now, those stats aren't telling me that.
Okay, speaking of recruit, I want to ask you a question because football, even basketball, we saw the USC offensive coordinator. He was in briefly. Recruiting kids, USC, it ended up. Next thing you know, he's at Arizona. He's now the head coach. College coaches can leave anytime they want. So if Cole Anderson's being recruited by somebody and Cole falls in love with a coach and he's all excited to go, next thing you know, hey, Cole, I'm sorry, I'm going to Syracuse. Whatever the case may be. They can go, make more money, the kid can't. And I know it drives Matt crazy. Will that ever change?
Yes, absolutely. There's legislation underway. The NCAA is seeing the light. There's so much money in the sport, of whether it's NCAA basketball, football, you name it, but the big money makers, the big sports. And these coaches are coming to practice while the player's trying to eat Top Ramen and go get his next, you know, yogurt shake from the little facility they helped build for him. Well, they're coming in with their 6 Series S-Class Mercedes, and then they go take another job for more money, and then I want to transfer, and they're telling me I can't play next year. They're going to change that rule, I guarantee it, but that's absolutely one of the hardest things in my life I've ever had to sit through, of how they restrict the college, the person that's really paving the way for all the success these universities have, and they have restrictions on what they can do with their own life, and they're all over the age of 18. I don't understand it. Never have. If I want to leave, I want to leave. If you want to go to play, if I'm at Alabama and I want to play at LSU next year, I'm going to LSU. Goodbye, Coach. See ya. He should be eligible to play against Alabama or LSU against Georgia, but they say, no, not in our conference. You can't transfer in conference. You can go play elsewhere, but we don't want to see your talent beating us up because we recruited you. It doesn't make sense to me how this thing is.
High school, you can do it.
It's borderline. It's the last bastion of slavery in this country is how they manipulate the young college athlete.
High school,
by the way,
you can leave.
The college didn't recruit you. The coach did. And so if you went there, more than likely you went there to play whatever sport it is for that coach. And I get that certain schools have certain programs, but the program is the coach.
As much as we, Nick, say, don't fall in love with the guy recruiting you, it's the university. You're going to be there 4 or 5 years. Your connections with the alumni and all that, you got to go to the school that fits you for that. But come on, personalities make the decisions. Personalities win the kid over. And that personality says, I've only been here 36 days, I'm leaving. And now.
Well, and that's the easy thing out of. That's the easy thing to say is what you're saying right now.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, if you, and I say this a lot, and you know this, Nick, yourself, if you haven't if you haven't gone through the recruiting process or understand with your own kid or yourself, you're whatever you've got to say, I don't care. you have absolutely no credibility in my mind at all unless you've walked down that path holding your kid's hand and listening to that coach talk to you about why you're going to do what you're going to do and what they're going to do here. Until then, Stugatz.
Well, let's do a little catch-22 when we come back, the opposite side of that little story. Don't go anywhere. Why they don't go, and I can see that side as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. Coming up next, Tony D, the one and the only. We'll have a Tony D show followed by CG, so stay tuned to the Valley's local sports leader all afternoon. We'll have you covered. Get you ready for Nevada Fresno State Saturday night. And remember, if you want tickets, if you're not going to the basketball game, I want you at the Fresno City Rams dinner, and you can come up maybe tonight at the Elbow Room, 6 o'clock, be on the Peg Meter team for Lymphoma Man of the Year, right? Nick Anderson, Matt Johnson here at Fashion Furniture. But the opposite side of your argument, we're talking about, hey, if the coach can leave, that's what we saw the USC offensive coordinator leave. Matt, he wasn't there that long, right?
36 days.
36 days, and now he's at Arizona. He's the new head coach. But I'm sure he recruited some of his wide receivers over there.
Well, Kyle Ford, five-star, and Brew McCoy of Notre Dame was going to go to USC regardless, but they went because the air raid offense, they're going to get a chance to set themselves up for pro football because they're going to catch 80 balls apiece.
And now he leaves, but the kid's like, hey, wait a minute. I already signed. Can't go anywhere. Now, the other side of it, I could see why there's a rule here. Because if Matt Johnson is at Weber State, and all of a sudden he goes to Cornhusky State, and he brings eight coaches with him, and the whole staff goes to Cornhusky State, why, you know, you would love to have the 20-plus players leave and just follow you over. You can't do that. I see both sides.
Yeah, and I don't see either one side. I say if a player wants to, within the boundaries of something that's short of being paid cash or the illegal activity that goes on, if a player A wants to go to school B, and who cares who the coach is now, if he wants to leave and do that, go through the process, go through it, get it, enrolled at the new school, and you should be eligible to play right away. I don't understand this whole sit-out period, all that stuff, because basically what they're telling us is the high-powered, rich executives who run the universities, including the coaching staffs, are really more important than the kid who has to go on the field and risk his life day to day. And I think that's wrong. I've been talking about this since I was in college. The player should have the same rights that a coach has and the same rights that the art student has when he wants to go join Martin Lawrence galleries and leave school early to go get paid. That should be paramount, and the NCAA should, which, by the way, is now shifting. Have you noticed? All the rules now are starting to kind of, we got to start taking care of these kids before lawsuits start hitting us. So now they're giving you more goodies. Now they're giving you a higher scholarship check. Now you're taking care of you and building these multi-million-dollar facilities where you feel like you're being treated like a king. They know, because if they ever get the players organized together, whether it's NCAA basketball or football, the two big sports, they will lose the trillion-dollar industry they've developed because the players still run the programs. I don't care what anybody says.
So Nick Anderson from Helena Agro Enterprises, LLC. Nick, you're as a parent. You're going to go through it with Cole Anderson. You went through with Megan and Emily. If they don't like the college, what's your thoughts? Would you want them to say, hey, you know, Dad, I made a mistake. The coach is down the road. I want to go to UC Santa Barbara or something. Would that be okay with you, or do you think, no, you're going to have to sit out a year? What's your thoughts as
a
parent?
No, I mean, as a parent, of course. I mean, you can look at it. Matt talks about it. I mean, everybody's got different views, and your view is completely different depending on what window you're looking through, right? So if you have your own kid, I think your view is one thing. If you don't have a kid in the process, you probably are thinking something different. But having a kid in the process, if my kid comes to me and says, hey, I don't want to be here anymore, and this is what I want. I want to go here, and this is why, or whatever. And they're over 18 to make their own decisions. But as a parent, I think that you want to be able to play right away. I think it's ridiculous to sit out. I mean, in high school, they've eliminated that now. As long as you do a full family move, in this case, you're doing a full family move because you're moving to a different school. What is the difference? And Matt is absolutely correct. I mean, it's like business. I always try to relate everything to business on what we deal with on a daily basis. And we're having to do things much differently on how we manage things today at Helena than we did 10 or 15 years ago. And if we don't continue to try to look at what ways we need to manage things moving forward, it's going to hit us square in the face. And then we're going to have, in this case for the NCAA, you're going to have lawsuits. In business, you might fail and you might not make the money you need to make. But I really feel like they need to spend some time fixing that, and I'm on the same page as Matt.
Great job. Great show, boys. Nick Anderson from Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC.
See you soon, my friend.
Yes. See you tonight at 6 o'clock at the Over Room. Matty,
yes,
J, another tremendous performance. Ron Scott, thank you, Fresno City Rams Baseball. If you want tickets, follow the Pag Meter on Twitter. I'll hook you up. We'll get you, find out how you get those tickets going. Coming up next, Tony D, followed by CG. Don't go anywhere. It's been a great afternoon. I do want to thank our tremendous sponsors, Firehouse Subs, and, of course, Fashion Furniture. Thank you, Russ. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to The Rise Show, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.